you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, October 28th, 2016. Reading from Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 5. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. Now, I know I'm going to be lifting this a bit out of context, but that verse so resonates with today's program and how God has worked in this radio ministry these many years, specifically even these last 5 years, as he's raised up Pastor Jason Schiffo to co-host during the Wednesday and Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And in fact, it was 5 years ago Wednesday that Jason entered the studio for the second time, and he's co-hosted on Wednesday ever since. And then about 3 years back, he started co-hosting on Friday. But if you were tuned in on Wednesday, you heard his first ever broadcast when he shared some of his testimony. That was back on October 18th of 2011. And so that set up him coming into the studio, sharing. We enjoyed our time together and began praying, might he entertain the idea of joining me on a regular basis. He went home, talked to his wife Tasha, prayed it over with his church elders. And then that following Wednesday, on the 26th of October of 2011, he began hosting the program with me. So you're going to hear that program as recorded just over 5 years ago in just a moment. Quick update. Our Creation Museum and Ark Encounter trip is full. I think it only took about 4 days. And so when we announce different Great News Radio outings, it's important that you call in right away and register. So we are taking a waiting list in case people have to cancel or for whatever reason openings occur. But I think at noon on Wednesday, we knew we were getting close to filling our bus. And in fact, I was at the center at the time updating one of the computers, and it needed to install all these various programs, and it took a couple hours. So I couldn't log on and alert people that the bus was filled. So a few individuals and family registered when we already had reached capacity. So we worked that through, are putting names on a waiting list, and we're excited what God's going to do through that tour. Well, taking you back now, 5 years ago to October 26, 2011, it was the second time Jason walked into the studio, and this is when he began co-hosting the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. And you'll hear me referencing various interviews that I've had throughout the month of October, as the program you now know as Mark and Friends was launched in late September, so about 3 weeks prior. And so I was having various guests and authors and artists and board members and pastors. And thank you, God, that he raised up Pastor Jason Schiffo at a time when I wasn't sure how all the morning programs were going to come together. And yet God, knowing the end from the beginning, provided. And I hope and trust these many years, as you've gotten to tune in on Wednesday and Friday, you've appreciated the ministry of Pastor Jason Schiffo. I've had many guests the last few weeks as we've been honoring pastors during Pastor Appreciation Month. And our Testimony Tuesday guest yesterday, Aubrey Kroll. You heard Joey in the studio with his new bride, Aubrey, and it was fun having them in. And then on Monday, we had Paul Steins, who's been a board member with this radio ministry for the last 3 years, and lots of different other interviews the last few weeks. So I invite you to go to our archive programs link at greatnewsradio.org, and you can listen to all those testimonies and God sightings and the various stories and how God is in that redemptive business, drawing us to himself. Well, if you tuned in a week ago today, on October 19th, you would have heard my interview with Pastor Jason Schiffo. He lives locally. He's been serving for the last 4 months. I guess he's getting close to his fifth month at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, Illinois. And he's married to Tasha, and he has 3 children, Jacob, his number one son, and then Molly, and his 4-month-old, Abigail. And so you got to hear a little about Jason's story, and he and I connected very quickly because he was a former Jewel food store manager, He worked for Bed Bath & Beyond. He was in the Army for, I think, 3 or so years, and he shared some of that redemptive story on how God took him from kind of, if you will, the secular world as he was dabbling into serving God, like on occasion or part-time, and then going to Bible college, and then lo and behold, he had that kind of almost a supernatural experience where he was teaching, and there was that convergence of his spiritual gifts and what he felt God had prepared him to do, to teach and preach God's word and to help people come to a better understanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and witnessing and being that evangelist, and first and foremost teaching the Bible that he had grown to love and loved to share with others. Well, as we finished that morning program a week ago, I talked with Jason off air, and I said, you know, Jason, it would be great to have you back, maybe on a regular basis. You and I have so many similar life interests and background stories that are very unique and special, and anyone that's like made it through Jewel Food Stores, trust me, has made it through a lot. And so I said, Jason, how about on Wednesday you come in and maybe just sharing what God has put on your heart, or, you know, I said, I don't know, we'll just have some conversational time. And he said, hey, Mark, I'm up for anything that'll advance kingdom purposes, and if you think I could do that or am qualified to do that, I'm more than happy to carve out some time. And so we talked about it a little, and he went on his way, and lo and behold, here he is with me this morning, and we've been having church here this morning, haven't we?
Yeah, we definitely have.
I said, Jason, recently I've been reading this chronological Bible, and I just kind of never know where it's going to lead me, because I'm in Acts, but during this period in Paul's ministry, he's not only navigating through these missionary trips, but now he finds himself in Rome, and so now he's writing letters to the Corinthian church and the Ephesian church, and so though I may be in Acts 17 or 20 or 24, they suddenly put in all of Ephesians or the book of Colossians right there in my Acts in the narrative, in the Bible readings that I'm doing for the day. Well, today I happen to be in Ephesians, and I was so pumped and motivated just before we got on the air here. Jason and I were talking about Ephesians, and I said, what do you think of this, and what do you think of that? And Jason says, well, why don't we just talk about Ephesians today? Because he had other things I think he wanted to share and say, but are you willing to maybe navigate us through some conversations on Ephesians?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I want to make a comment, too, because I think it's a great journey that you're on. And I'm on the same journey myself this year. I picked up a chronological Bible. Somebody had challenged me on reading the Bible chronologically. And I think it's a powerful practice that I would challenge everybody to do, because there's something strange that happens in you when you don't get to read the New Testament till October. And you go, you started in January, and you go all the way to October, and you go, wait a second. All the time I haven't been in the New Testament, look at how much I've been missing. Because there's so much time. I mean, I was going like, when are we going to get to the New Testament? When are we going to get to the New Testament?
Yep.
And all of a sudden, I'm in the New Testament in October, and I'm going, I don't have that much time left in the year in this Bible. So I think it's a great journey to do that. But you challenged this morning, we began our conversation, as you joked, we were doing church here, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. You said that was just challenging you. And it really, it's kind of that Proverbs 27:17, that iron sharpening iron. When you gave that to me, when you said, well, I'm wrestling with this, it just in my heart goes, let's take that and let's see what we can do. So chapter 1 and verse 4 says,
how about just reading the first 4 or 6 verses just to give people maybe a little context, and then we can highlight verse 4, because that's the one that just really spoke to me. Actually, this whole book of Ephesians is so good. So it's going to be the recommended reading for our listeners over these coming Wednesday mornings. We're going to have you back, and maybe we'll continue with this Ephesians. But how about just starting at Ephesians chapter 1, and then we can stop at like 5 or 6.
Sure. The Apostle Paul currently is in Rome. I mean, he's under house arrest in Rome. And a lot of people would take house arrest as being some sort of not as bad as being in jail. But people have to understand that house arrest in the ancient world in Rome, you were literally locked inside of this house. So the only food you could eat was food that was brought into you. You weren't allowed to make any money. There was no way to make money. So you couldn't have any money to give to people to go buy you something. So everything that you got was gifts. In fact, in my reading, I found that a lot of people who came under Roman house arrest actually died of starvation because they weren't able to get any food. That's why in Philippians, Paul just keeps talking about this great gift that Epaphroditus has brought to him, because it's allowed him to eat and survive and continue to write these letters. And scholars would say that Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians were written all about the same time. They all came roughly out of the same pen. So here in Ephesians, Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And I love that he's saying by the will of God, which means that that's his direction and that's his rudder, the will of God. To the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. And then Paul, which he says in almost every single one of his books, he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And right there, he's just giving kudos to where grace and peace comes from. From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he begins in Ephesians in verse 3, he says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And then he starts in verse 4, which is what me and Mark were wrestling down this morning. He says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. And this is a great verse here, because it talks about, well, I mean, there's like 27 layers here. We could peel back the onion for hours, but this morning show only goes so long, right?
Yeah. Well, of course, I could preempt SRN News and maybe take some other programs off. But yeah, basically, we have till about 5 minutes to the top of the hour when SRN News says it's time for us to give the news update.
Okay. What I love here is that number one, it says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. See, for a lot of people, God is, especially when we come to Christ, you're a new believer in Christ, and you believe that God is somehow this new creation, that God is kind of a new thing. And for some of us, it's very hard to understand that God has been here forever, that God has been here and thinking about us. I talked to Mark before we came on the air, that isn't it an interesting thought, and doesn't it make the scope and magnitude of your life bigger? When you realize that God, when he said, let my people go in the Exodus, that he was planning in his divine authorship a radio ministry, that he was thinking about the churches that would carry forth the gospel, that he was thinking about how Christ would come and walk on this earth, that way back in the beginning, even in the first tentative steps in Genesis, you know, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, that he was already laying out how this was going to work. And he was already thinking about you. You see, when you think about that in that terms, suddenly God becomes incredibly big. And that's, I think, something that Paul is trying to say here. In 2 Corinthians and chapter 4, God says this, beginning in verse 6. It says, for God who said, let the light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So what this passage is saying here is that God, as he's dividing light and dark in creation, as he's beginning to create the world, he took that light, that cosmic energy, if you want to say, and planted it inside of each one of our hearts. And he didn't do so that we could go out and do something. He didn't do so that we could become better. He did it so that we could know Jesus Christ. And I think often that a lot of people who are walking around and they're going, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, or I don't know where I'm supposed to be, or I just have this gnawing sense inside of me that I'm meant for more. Mm-hmm. And I go, you know what, maybe that's that light that's inside your heart going, I want to get out of here. You know, it's like you kind of cage an animal and it's going like, let me out of the cage. And this light is saying, let me out. Let me out. I want, through your knowledge of Christ, you to begin to affect and change the world. You begin to take care of those people who don't have clean water, who don't have food, those people who God wants to touch in and through you. So this passage in Corinthians says that God takes this light from creation and he makes it shine into our hearts so that we can know who Jesus is. And so I think that that is incredibly powerful, because way back in creation, God was already thinking about where he was going to place this light. And he was going to place it inside of your hearts. So suddenly when you think about it in terms of that, God becomes incredibly big and God becomes incredibly personal. You know, suddenly there's a relationship because this God who's like doing all these big things. I mean, I think about it as a businessman who's doing all kinds of big things. He's running his multi-million dollar mega company and he takes time out of his day continually to visit with a small child. Or to go out and do some small, go down to the corner and get a newspaper and spend an innumerable amount of time talking and developing personal relationships with people. Because he understands that while he's doing this big thing, that depositing into these personal things is truly what matters. So I think it just, I think it makes God becomes incredibly big and then God becomes incredibly personal.
And I love even the beginning, the very first verse, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. So I want to talk a little about the will of God and then the fact that he chose us before the creation of the world. And I think probably Satan's greatest tool or weapon is to mask the fact that God does love us, that he wants to be personal, that he has chosen us from before the beginning of all eternity. And that I was sharing before we went on the air, and this is where Jason and I were having a little church service going on here. And in case you're just tuning in, I have Pastor Jason Schiffo here in the studio. He's becoming a close friend. He's kind of a neighbor on the, the northern end of Muhammad. His church is just about 4 minutes away from our home studio here through the backwoods as the crow flies. But he just kind of showed up to the studio this morning. Actually, we planned. I asked him to come here and just share something that was on his heart. And I don't want to say I derailed that, but I just kind of said, hey, let's just talk about Ephesians. So he's kind of off the top of his head sharing some of the things. But what I think is so unique or crucial for everyone to understand about this verse is that God has chosen us. That we're not just here because of primordial slime in the evolutionary process, that just chemicals came together and there's no ultimate meaning or purpose. We just kind of happened to be. No, we were not an afterthought. We were part of God's very design. And I think Satan doesn't want any of us to ever entertain that idea that we are unique, so unique that God wouldn't have created this whole universe without us. And his desire is that we'll come to know him in a personal way, that he's made us because he wanted us. And I just think, like I was sharing with you, Jason, that's kind of my default. If I ever have to be rebooted up or laying in bed thinking about things, I many times will go back to that very concept that God loves me because he does. He created me. He didn't have to have me in his universe. And I want, really, Jason, all of our listeners to identify that, that he cares about you. He designed you. He gave you unique gifts and talents and abilities. And he wouldn't have had it any other way. You are important to Almighty God, and that's why you exist. That's one of the reasons you exist, because he wants you.
Yeah. It's interesting you said, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer had this quote that I think really sums up what Paul is trying to say here. Bonhoeffer is well known for in the 40s saying no, no, no to the Nazi regime, while many priests and at the time were signing off and saying, really condoning what the regime was doing. Bonhoeffer said this. He said, it's not our job to look for the good thing, but instead to consistently look for the will of God. And if we understand the Apostle Paul's life here, I mean, he's under house arrest, he's been beaten, he's been whipped. I mean, historical accounts say he was thrown off a cliff. When that didn't work, they threw a bunch of rocks down on him trying to kill him. I mean, he's been through the ringer. And yet he's not, those of us who would look at Paul's life would say that's not good. You know, Paul agreeing with Bonhoeffer's statement, it's not about the good thing, it's about the will of God, what it is that God wants me to do. And so I think that it's powerful here that he says, by the will of God. Right away, for the first tentative steps for his readers or his listeners, because this would have come out in oral tradition, this letter comes to you by the will of God. My ministry comes to you by the will of God. My life is directed by the will of God. So I think that that's incredibly powerful from what you're saying. And then by the will of God, you were chosen. So once again, that makes your God, that makes God incredibly big. And that makes God incredibly personal.
And I'm thinking, you know, this is kind of something that I would love to have people doing with each other. Jason, do you know you've been chosen by God? I mean, I would think if you have a neighbor or a friend or somebody that you love that is walking faithfully with the Lord Jesus Christ, point out to them today that they've been chosen. I mean, I don't know. That encourages me. If you told me, Mark, you've been chosen by God, I mean, doesn't that kind of put a smile on your face? But
It's a truth that God loves us, and he's provided a plan and a purpose through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who Paul met, and Paul had revelation from him directly, but I just love that he chose us before the creation of the world. That's something that we could just think about and ponder and chew on, and what an incredible truth that God chose us before the creation of the world because he desired to have an intimate, personal relationship with us. And then it goes beyond just this time here on earth. We have all eternity to spend with him.
Yeah. Yeah, it says in Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 19, and it's probably hedges on one of my favorite pieces of scripture at this moment. But it says, it begins in chapter 19, it says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household." So by this choosing, and I run into a lot of people every single day who feel as though they're foreigners, they feel as though they're aliens, they feel as though they're something else. And it's that, once again, it's that light that's gnawing inside of them, telling them that there's more to this life that they've been brought to. And it says, but you are fellow citizens with God's people and a member of God's household. I mean, God has invited you into his house. And it says it's built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. And this is a great piece of scripture because if anybody understands building, and I'm not a construction whiz at all, I'll tell you that right now. But my understanding is the chief cornerstone is the stone that would be laid in a house for two reasons. Number one, it would be from where you began to lay the house. It was your first tentative steps. And number two, it would ensure that the house was straight. Everything would come off of this cornerstone, and it would ensure that the house would be built straight. Now, this, for me, is powerful when I read Job chapter 38. And I want to go to Job because we talked in the beginning about reading the Bible chronologically and this power of understanding that it's one complete story that God wants to tell us. That it's not a divided, like that page in the middle that's blank in all our Bibles between the New and the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. That's there for us. That's not there because God wants it. God has a complete story he wants to tell us. But Job chapter 38 says this, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm, and he said, 'Who is it that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you will answer me.'" Like, that's pretty scary, right?
Yeah.
And then he says this, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand who marked off its dimensions. Surely you know. Who stretched the measuring line across it? On what were its footings set, or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy." God is saying here that where were you? He's asking a question of Job. And Job's answer, based on what Paul says, is, "Well, God, I was with you." But what's more powerful here, too, is that God says, "I laid the cornerstone. I laid that stone in Christ Jesus that they talk about back in Ephesians that we went over. I laid that. And when that was laid, the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy." Way back in Job chapter 38, and Job would be the oldest book of the Bible, oldest written book of the Bible. Obviously, Genesis is much older, but Job would be that first oral book that was shared among the Hebrews. So way back in this first story being shared, first story of God being shared with the Hebrews, God begins to talk about what he's going to do through Jesus, through this cornerstone that's been laid.
Well, Jason, SR News wants to interrupt us, and we're going to have to allow that, and we're going to continue this conversation in the weeks ahead. I think you're going to be a featured guest each and every Wednesday. Who knows? I might have to bring you in more often. Are you sure you have to return to the Community Evangelical Free Church and preach there each and every Sunday? Can't we just have you on every morning? But it's been a delight getting to know you these past few weeks, past few months, I guess. And we need to do a special shout-out for Jacob and Molly and Abigail as your three children. I know we'll delight in hearing you again on the radio. So, well, that was going back into our archived programs from 5 years ago, October 26th of 2011. It's the first time Pastor Jason Schiffo co-hosted the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends with me. In fact, Abigail is 5 years old now, and there was no mention of Samuel, who's almost two now, I think. So thank you, God, for raising up Pastor Schiffo and the Schiffo clan, as I trust these past 5 years you've been blessed by his ministry. In case you missed the front end of this program, I did mention that our motor coach is full for our tour to the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. If you stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org, you can learn the details, but we're just beginning a waiting list in case there are cancellations, so you can sign up for that at greatnewsradio.org. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.